Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Guys were away from the rink yesterday. Seem to be in great mood today. I think part of that is, you know, you do get a breather with your family or, you know, whoever's in town. And I think it's just good mentally. Sun shining this morning. Finally, we get some nice spring hockey weather maybe in Massachusetts. I think that's, you know, when the sun's out, people tend to be in a better mood naturally. And I think we're excited to where we are. We're 1-1. We wanted to be 2-0. It was close. Could have been either way. I think the guys realize that what it takes to get the win. So I think we like our position right now, like the way we're playing. So I think that, you know, usually leads to a positive mindset. I like being around each other, too. So I see a group in a good place right now.
Yeah, Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy yesterday on the off day. He likes where the Bruins are at right now. Join us in our Town Fair Tire studio.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Guys were away from the rink yesterday. Seem to be in great mood today. I think part of that is, you know, you do get a breather with your family or, you know, whoever's in town. And I think it's just good mentally. Sun shining this morning. Finally, we get some nice spring hockey weather maybe in Massachusetts. I think that's, you know, when the sun's out, people tend to be in a better mood naturally. And I think we're excited to where we are. We're 1-1. We wanted to be 2-0. It was close. Could have been either way. I think the guys realize that what it takes to get the win. So I think we like our position right now, like the way we're playing. So I think that, you know, usually leads to a positive mindset. I like being around each other, too. So I see a group in a good place right now.
Yeah, Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy yesterday on the off day. He likes where the Bruins are at right now. Join us in our Town Fair Tire studios. Ty Anderson from 98.5thesportshub.com. First of our two special guests. The other special guest will come up next segment. Ty Anderson, do you agree? Do you like where the Bruins are at? Do you like where the Bruins are at as much as Cassidy does?
No, they should be up 2-0. They should absolutely be up 2-0. If they can bury some chances and get more than 13 shots on goal in the first 40 minutes of this game on Saturday night, they have a 2-0 series lead right now. So, no, I don't agree with that. Because I think that they need to recognize the opportunity in front of them here. And I know Columbus isn't going to be an easy opponent. I think we all know that. They swept the President's Trophy winning team. But you can go to Columbus up 2-0. In the second round, and you look at the remaining field, you have to win this series. You can't leave us a chance. And I go back to 2011. Look at that Flyers series. They swept the Flyers. They got a breather. If they don't get that breather, they don't win the Stanley Cup. They had 3 7-game series that playoff run. They need to get a break at some point. And I thought Saturday, I thought they were the better team for the most part. They just didn't bury their chances. They didn't generate enough chances, rather.
Okay, why aren't they up 2-0? What's going on?
Because Bergeron is a ghost right now. And I know we can't say that because Patrice Bergeron's like the greatest Bruin of this era.
I'm with you on this. I felt this way the whole playoffs, but keep going.
But that's the thing. You haven't noticed him. I've said it a few times. He won a bunch of faceoffs on Saturday. Besides that, I didn't notice him once. And that's
didn't he have like a handful of scoring chances there in overtime, especially?
He did. I mean, in overtime, but before that, he didn't really do anything to make the difference. And I thought Marchand had some jump in games one and two, and I would look up and I would see, and there really wasn't that support. That what there wasn't Bergeron between the circles, wide open for a chance there. You know, they get the chances in overtime, yeah, but I think that he's been hurt. Clearly, whatever it is, he's limited. You look at his time on ice; it's been down versus where it's been in recent years. Pastrnak is lost right now, and so I look at that big three. They're not doing enough at 5-on-5. And I asked Cassie about this after the game on Saturday, and he said, "Well, I like what they're doing at 5-on-5. It's the power play that I'm worried about." And I kind of went back and I said, I rewatched the game, and I said, 5-on-5. They didn't really. The overtime, they generated something, but before that, it was a big bowl of nothing from that team, and we've said that too many times now about this, about that top line, about these best players so far.
What would you do with Pastrnak, and what do you think Cassidy's going to do?
I like putting him on that third line. Coyle is one of the only Bruins players right now with any jump who looks healthy. David Krejci is clearly hurt. It's his shoulder. He's not taking faceoffs right now. Bergeron, whatever's going on with him right now is limiting him, so I think Coyle, that line has some jump right now. Johansson is a great passer, in my opinion. Coyle is a strong puck possession guy. That should open up some lanes for Pastrnak to get some shots on net. Now, the question is, does he take those shots? I don't think he's shooting enough. He gets the puck on his stick, and he's flubbing it, or he's passing it. He's doing the one extra move.
He's just, it's unbelievable to watch.
He's not on this planet right now. And people say, oh, it's the thumb. He came back from the thumb and had a hat trick. So I don't agree with that.
Okay, possible he re-injured it in game 2. That's sort of a working theory. He was flying around out there, and he may have jarred it loose.
I mean, maybe, but at the same time, I don't see the thumb limiting him. I see decision-making limiting him. It's not. Oh, that shot didn't have enough. Yeah, it's upstairs right now. I think he's in his own head, and you know, he talks about yesterday, he talks to the media, and he says, I think the media is making a big deal out of it. It's like, dude, no, you dominated last year. You were the best player on the ice last year, and this year, you know how many 5-on-5 minutes he played from the third period through the double overtime?
Who, at Pastrnak now?
Yeah.
From the beginning of the third period.
To the end of double overtime. So that's a 43.5-minute sample.
Yeah, so 4. I was going to say, it's better be more than 10.
It was 7. He played 7 minutes. From that. When you need a goal, you can't put out the guy who had 38 goals in the regular season,
right,
which is concerning.
Well, but you know what? I don't blame Cassidy. He's hurting everyone he's on the ice with. He's hurting.
No, it's true. It's true, but it speaks to, you know, they're saying he's fine, he's fine, he's fine. Clearly he's not, because if he was fine, he'd be playing in more than 7 minutes in overtime. The only guys who played less than him were Chris Wagner and Marcus Johansson. Those are the only two players on the Bruins who played fewer minutes than David Pastrnak when you needed a goal to win the game. That's scary to me.
Ty Anderson from 98.5thesportshub.com in our Town Fair Tire Studios. You want to talk Bruins, 617-779-0985. What scares you most about the Blue Jackets?
Bobrovsky. You know, we were all falling over ourselves to sit here and go, oh, Freddie Anderson, he's playing so well. No, no, this is a goalie. This is a real goalie.
He's a bad man.
He is going to get paid. And I thought that watching him this regular season, I said, this guy's leaving so much money on the table right now because he didn't play well in the regular season. And his playoff numbers to date have been pretty bad. But this playoff run, he's been phenomenal.
So you know what? That's what we didn't factor in. Contract run.
Contract run.
Well, there you go. That's a problem.
He's going to Florida, too.
Yeah, they're astonishingly disciplined, that team. I mean, they just do not slip up. They don't relent. Like, they are just plodding and disciplined and patient, and that's part of what scares me about them, too.
And the other part that scares me, too, Josh Anderson, who I think could be, like, the big X factor in this series, hasn't done anything yet. If he gets going, and now he's targeting Krug and Grizzlick and some of these other Connor Clifton, these other defensemen, you could be in trouble, especially the series on the road now.
So maybe that's the answer to my next question. Outside of the goaltending, which I think is self-evident, what scares you about Columbus? Is there a matchup there? Is there something they're getting on you? Is there their physicality getting up over you? You know, what about their team do you have to worry about, or is there nothing other than the goalie? I mean, is this you think the Bruins should win this series and they are a better team?
I think they should win this series, but they need their best players to show up. I mean, I know that's simplifying things, but look at game 2. How does Columbus win? Seth Jones plays 35 minutes, and he's phenomenal. Matt Duchene scores the overtime winner. Artemi Panarin has 2 goals. Those are your best players if you're Columbus, and they're performing. And then that's where you rely on the Nick Foligno's of the world to generate chances, which he did. So you need to match that, I think, you know, up top on your roster for the Bruins right now. And the power play has to wake up like that. The power play, they were a great power play team during the regular season, and I think their first unit right now is unplayably bad. I would give it to their second unit out there.
Do you think they should be shooting more from the point on the power play?
No, I think they just need to, honestly, like, they need to generate quality looks. And I hate the point shots because I don't think it's a quality look. I think they, like, right now, it's just, you look at their units and it seems that they only have one option. And when it gets taken away, they don't know what to do with it because Pastrnak is not an option right now. So they're trying to feed Bergeron between the circles and teams are taking that away. And so when that happens, the rest of their unit isn't really all that impactful. Like, Marchand is good, but you got to get it just right on that one-time feed from Krug to him to make him really effective there. And Johansson for the net, I'm not a big fan of. I would prefer DeBrusk out there. So I look at that these units, and I say there's not enough shooters out there right now. Too much passing, not enough doing. And I don't want those low percentage looks, though. I don't like the point shot because I don't think you're going to beat Bobrovsky with that right now.
How do you feel about Chara so far?
He's very bad. He has been very bad.
Thank you. Someone at least calls, can say it. I feel there's a protective coating around Chara with a lot of you guys that cover the team. It is. It's like the same crew, the Boohoo Tuca crew, the Claude crew, the Chiarelli crew, the Louis Erickson crew. You all circle
the Heinen crew.
You all circle the wagons around Chara, too. I'm glad you just call it as it's happening. And look, I like Chara more by the day. I've become a big Chara fan now that his salaries have gone down and the expectations are down, you know, and now properly assess who he is. But I don't think he's being that, meaning just a nice second pair defensive shutdown guy. He's been a mistake waiting to happen in a lot of these games.
So what's the big thing we talk about with Chara? His value in 2019 is the PK. He is so nerve-wracking on the penalty kill this year.
Okay, he can't clear it.
He can't clear it. The clear that Atkinson intercepts for the first Columbus goal, it never gets more than 8 inches off the ground. And it's an easy pick for Atkinson. It's a goal. And then he has some more, you know, clears that they almost go over the boards. They almost go into in the stands. You're like, man, this guy is a nightmare right now. You know, So I look at him, and the one thing that you trust him to do right now, he's not doing well. And that's scary, I think, because he looks slow and he looks hurt. I don't know what it is, but, like, I don't know if he's nursing an injury.
He's 42.
I think maybe that's just it. But I thought this was a series. We've talked about this before. I thought this was a series that would help him because it's Foligno and it's Josh Anderson, Brandon Dubinsky, Boone Jenner. It's all these kind of gritty, hard-nosed guys, and you're seeing him. He's still getting outworked for pucks and clears.
If the Bruins don't win the Stanley Cup, have they choked?
Yes. Yes. Look at the remaining field. Can you name more than one team that can beat them?
San Jose.
That's it?
Okay, but you said in the Stanley Cup or win the Stanley Cup?
I think I said win there, but okay. If they don't make the Stanley Cup, is that a choke?
Yes. They should win it, too.
Okay, that I agree with.
But Martin Jones stinks, by the way.
They should win it, too.
They should absolutely win it. They should absolutely win the Stanley Cup this year. I was here when the playoffs began. I said, if they lose the second round, whatever. Tampa's a machine. Tampa's out. Washington is out. Pittsburgh is out. Vegas out. Like, all these teams that I thought would give the Bruins
Winnipeg
problems are all gone. Yeah,
Winnipeg would have given them a hard time.
Nashville has always given them a hard time. They're out. Every team that would be a legitimate threat to this team is out of the postseason right now. You have zero excuse not to win the Stanley Cup. And
that's a tough bar. I mean, believe me, and I embrace it. I'm fine with that. But if you don't win a Stanley Cup, you choked. Like, this ain't the 80, you know, Edmonton Oilers here, Ty. This is a nice team, but this ain't an all-time team.
Yeah, but you know what's happening this year? Tuca's playing well. Tuca is playing well.
And you want to say, because
so far, you
are a member of the Boohoo Tuca crew, you want to say,
I'm the biggest member.
Exactly. Charter member. You want it. Your heart and your head. Boy, what you're saying is, and how many years can we really expect that for him to play this well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know, like everybody else, he sharts himself half the time when we get to this place.
This was his best series. Or last series was his best series since 2013 against the Penguins, in my opinion.
I think he's playing as well as he's played in the playoffs.
Exactly. And so if you leave this on the table, that's worrisome.
I agree. Both those things. The field, what has happened to the competition, especially across the Eastern Conference. We'll get to San Jose when we get to San Jose. But the competition across the East, and Rask hasn't wet himself. He's played well. He's played winning hockey the whole way through, just about. When is that going to come together again? When are you going to get Rask playing this well? And Crosby, Malkin, Holpe, the Penguins, the Capitals, the all-time Tampa Bay Lightning team, not in your way. When is that? They'll never have a chance like this again.
No. Everyone is only getting better. Tampa's not going away anytime soon. Look at their roster and their youth. They're not going away.
Well, they can't afford everybody, but that's a different story for a different day.
But Toronto's one that can't afford everybody.
Toronto, you know what? I think it's entirely possible that each series is going to get easier as they go forward, again, taking out the cup. But I think Toronto's a better team than Columbus. And should be a harder out than Columbus. And I think the next round, if it's Carolina, They should moonwalk backwards over Carolina. I am sorry.
Especially if Mrazek is out.
And Mrazek, who sucks to begin with, I think. I mean, he was in Detroit all those years, right? He's just a guy. Now he's hurt, and they got the guy behind the guy. If they lose to Carolina, that's a gag. But I think it's one of these years where the rounds could get easier as they go. And I'm not telling you Columbus is easy. I'm just telling you, I still look back at that Toronto series and go, I think Toronto was a better team. They just don't know how to win yet. But either way, here you are. Oh, don't tell me you're going to blow this opportunity.
It's the only thing that can stop the Bruins right now are themselves. Like, that's the only thing that's going to stop this team
right now. Well, so you'd be worried, though, when you talk about all these guys, because you think Pasternak's hurt, you think Bergeron might be hurt, you think Chara might be hurt. I mean...
Well, let's just... Maybe some are just sucking.
So that's possible.
Okay. I think Pasternak is just sucking. That's just my opinion on that.
Okay, let's take a break. Come back with your calls with Ty Anderson on the Bees right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I said this before that we started against Toronto. I think when we're skating, we're as good as any team in this league because we have grit, we have physicality, we have experience. I think we got a good blend of scoring and defense. It's when we have our legs and we're checking well. Skating, forechecking, attacking. I think we're a really, really good team. He does add some of that element of pace to it, to our game. So that's what I've liked about him since day one here and throughout our whole lineup. So we want to be physical, yes, but we also want to be able to skate. That's when we're at our best, and so that's what we're trying to get to.
So that's Bruce Cassidy on Carson Kuhlman drawing back into the lineup, and he says when they skate, they're the best team in hockey. And Kuhlman's a better skater than Wagner. I mean, is that pretty much the calculus there, Ty?
And better than Backes, too.
Well, certainly. Obviously.
I'm a better skater than Backes.
Correct. All of us are. If you're watching on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, you're now looking at our second special guest in studio, and it's sort of corny. Sorry for the bad tease, but it's the Stanley Cup, the actual Stanley Cup. The NHL is doing a media tour with the Cup. It has arrived in Boston today, and so they brought it in. And so we brought it in studio. And that's that. We're not going to do the full Stanley Cup segment, you know, where it's been, the craziest thing you've ever seen, the hookers that have, you know, danced around in there, all that stuff, because that segment's been done a million times. It's kind of silly in the second round. If they win it, we'll come back and tell all the stories about the Cup. But they brought the Cup to Boston, so what the heck? We'll put it in studio. And maybe just sort of highlighting that it's right there for you. Don't choke.
Don't lose to Columbus.
Don't lose to Columbus when that's sitting right in front of you.
I mean, I don't want to touch the thing for lots of reasons. But nonetheless, like, you know, there you go. Right there in front of you. I can smell it from here, Judd.
All you have to beat is Columbus, Carolina, and then Joe Thornton, who's never won a damn thing. So don't gag this one away. We're also on Facebook Live and Twitch just for this segment, so you can look at the pretty cup that is in front of Ty Anderson. We did have it totally blocking out Ty Anderson. Ty's... a little larger than the cup goes about 3.5 feet. Ty's just a little bit, a hair over it.
I can sit in it comfortably.
Oh, I bet that's been done, Ty.
All right, so back to your phones. Thoughts on the series and the Bruins with Ty Anderson. We got some leftover Celtics and draft thoughts as well. You can weigh in on whatever you want. Tim in the car, what do you got, Tim?
Hey, just wanted to say, I agree with you what you were saying about how Cassidy's been plugging in people here and there. I think the matchup against Babcock was a difficult one. A lot of people give Babcock this bad rap, but I think he's a great coach. And then in this series with Tortorella, and that's why it's been a back-and-forth series, the first series and this series, you know, one game at a time, and they he has a game plan and he has a thought every game that they're going into. So I think.
Okay, so I like Cassidy. I'm a big fan. How do you feel about John Tortorella?
He's better. He's better than he was when you last when you faced him last time in 2013 when he was at the Rangers. He's changed. He
How has he changed?
I think he's just he trusts his players more than doghousing them. I think he used to be a victim to that. He would do that a lot. Where back in 2013, remember he benched Brad Richards because Richards.
Oh
was
right,
yeah, that's right, yeah,
right.
The previous round he benched Carl Hagelin. I'm pretty sure Hagelin was on the Rangers then. Like now he trusts his players. You know Duchesne didn't have a great start to the series, but he's out there and he scores a big goal in double overtime.
He's still the same nozzle at the podium, though. Here's today with Kevin Paul Dupont, who wanted to write a feature about something, and Tortorella was having none of it.
What could you possibly ask me today after 2 days? Oh, well, one day, but
I'll be the victim. So I was just asking Cam Atkinson how Torts is most like Jerry York. And he said, give small guys a chance.
I don't know how to answer
that. Did he have
to
convince you of that originally, or
who?
Cam.
Convince me of what?
That being small, he could get the job done.
Oh, come on. Ask me a hockey question here. Let's go. I got things to do. Ask me a hockey question.
Yeah, so that's how the press conference led off. So the first comment, he walks into the room and says, what could you people possibly want from me now after 2 days? So
I'll be the victim.
But you know what? I'm with Torts on this one. The mamby-pamby feature questions, can we please put a sock in those?
Let's go. I got things to do. Ask me a hockey question.
100%. I couldn't agree with you more. We got things to do.
We're the Torts of sports radio.
Exactly.
Radios.
We're not here to grab ass around. You want to grab ass to a podcast. You want to grab ass to a Facebook Live, the Felger and Maz off-air show on Facebook Live with Ty Anderson. That's when we grab ass.
Let's go. I got things to do. Ask me a hockey question.
Perfect. Exactly. Adam in Rhode Island on the Bs. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, so Ty, how much do you think this rest, this day of extra rest, is going to help the Bs out considering the lack of rest since the playoffs started?
I would think that this is going to help them tonight out of the gate. We're going to have to see it, though. I think that, you know, you have the day of rest, and it almost goes out the window because you played a double overtime game 2 days before. And so now you're hoping for some more rest, you know, that you wouldn't get. But I think tonight they should have jump, they should have energy, and you go from there.
I mean, I feel like tonight's a better chance to win in Columbus. Like, I know it's the first game there, but you've had 2 days off. The Bruins played a 7-game series. These guys played 4. The extra day will benefit them more in game 3 than it will game 4.
To me, hockey is so different. Like, in basketball, tonight it's the Bucks night. Like, you just recognize, you just know it. From the referee assignment to the home team's not losing both. And I mean, it's just like the NBA, you can telegraph
it. It's a formula.
So much easier. In hockey, it really doesn't work that way. I mean, it really doesn't. A team's down 2-0 coming home in the NBA, automatically win game
over. Like, Milwaukee loses tonight, it's over.
Meaning?
The Bucks. The Bucks lose tonight, it's over.
No, but I'm just saying, there's so many games you can telegraph in an NBA series. In hockey, it doesn't work that way.
No, and I thought that if they were going to put David Backes in, tonight would be the night. The extra rest, you're coming off a loss. But the fact they're not doing that and they're going with Kuhlman says they're going about energy and speed tonight. They want speed, they want momentum, they want energy, and with that extra rest, maybe they get it.
Kyle in Maine, what do you got for us, Kyle?
Hey, guys. I think we're all waiting for Pasta to get going, and I really like him on the third line for a couple of reasons. First of all, he's been an anchor on the first two lines. You got to free them up. But put him on the third line. Coyle and Johansson, they've shown that they can generate zone time, and I think that could benefit Pasta. He gets a puck on a stick with those guys. He's not going to be thinking, where's Marchie? Where's Krejci? He could just fire the puck, and hopefully that's what he's thinking. Just let it fly and create some scoring opportunity.
What do you think, Ty?
I agree with that because I think indecisiveness is what the Bruins are diagnosing Pastrnak with right now. In terms of the struggles, they're saying, no, he's just being indecisive. He doesn't know when to pass or shoot. If you're on a line with Coyle and Johansson, you know what to do. Shoot the thing. Shoot it. That's all you got to do. Coyle will have possession of the puck, and Johansson's going to pass it. So you got to shoot it. And I think that's sort of what they've been telling him over these last few days and what they're hoping he does tonight when the game starts.
I agree with the thing about he's anchoring. Like, I think he was bringing down those other lines. I think, I said this yesterday, Cassidy's doing this, moving down to the third line, as much to get him going as it is to protect Bergeron and Krejci, who had to carry this guy around all this time. Who's been that bad?
You're going to hate what I say right now, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Say it.
Danton Heinen is a big reason why the first line has been a lot better. That's why that line actually hasn't been drowning in their own zone.
I actually think Heinen's been okay this
postseason. He's been fine, but you just got through saying the first line's done nothing and they've been invisible.
No, it would be a lot worse, though, if it weren't.
How could you be more invisible than invisible? That's like, how can you be less than
zero?
Because
defensively, they stink right now, too. If not for Heinen, Heinen's been their best defensive
forward.
Once
you're invisible, there's nowhere else to go. There's grades of invisible?
No. It could be a lot worse. When they put Pastrnak with Bergeron and Marchand for a brief bit on Saturday.
Sneaky way to circle around and try and protect that in Heinen. Another one of the protected crew among the Bruins writers for some reason.
Yeah. Shh, you got to whisper when you say his name.
He's a quiet guy. Quiet game.
Yeah, he's been loud this postseason, I think.
Loud?
For him.
No, how many
he's
points
actually talking like this now.
How many points does he have?
I don't know that.
Like, yeah,
I
mean, six
like
or
three?
Something.
Yeah, probably. How many
probably
does
something
he have?
Like that.
Andrew in Andover. Go ahead, Andrew.
Columbus is blocking a ton of shots. The Bruins can't get the shots through to Bobrovsky. When they do, he's like a brick wall. It's easier to see this in person because they clog the shooting lanes and their sticks are in good position in the passing lanes. This is a classic Tortorella trait. With the Rangers, he used to do this. He wants his guys sacrificing themselves to block shots. That's why, did you see the shots on goal last game?
Sure.
It was horrendous by the Bruins, but that's because they can't get them through to Bobrovsky.
Well, the question has always been buy-in. You know, if you can get your player, if you can get five guys to pack around the net and take rubber off their chests, then you're going to win a lot of games. The question is, how do you get guys to do that? And in the playoffs, Tortorella hasn't even been able to do that. With this Columbus team, you would think that would be a hard pull given all the guys that are about to leave, right?
No, I think he got them at the right time, though. He got Seth Jones and Rowenski when they were younger. Think about when Tortorella fails. Vancouver, he failed. Everyone was in their 30s. You think Sedin's going to start blocking shots at the age of 35? No, he's not going to do that. He has no interest in doing that. So he got this team at the perfect age for them to buy in, and this is what you're seeing. You're seeing that 3 to 4 year developmental arc of who they are and what they are right now. And
well, I'm talking more about Panarin, and I don't know. I mean, I think there's a couple of guys that are on the way out of there, right?
But he doesn't really make them do that. He trusts the middle of the roster to do that. The guys we're talking about, the Dubinsky, Foligno, Riley Nash is a great example of that as well. So I don't know. He lets the skill guys do their thing, I think. But overall, they're not the Bruins. It's not so much that Columbus is taking away lanes, and they are, but the Bruins aren't shooting it enough.
See, I'm going to tie. I don't think there have been as many block shots in this series as I thought there were going to be. When they played the Rangers, I remember those guys diving all over the place. They don't do that now. The Bruins are being stupid with the puck. That's what the issue is, if you ask me. Like, I look at the Bruins and I say, they're either overpassing or they're passing into crowded areas or turning the puck over. They're not taking enough shots. I'm with Ty.
There was about 10 drop passes in game two.
Oh, God.
And they all went
brutal.
Nowhere.
Brutal.
And there was no greater offender than Jake DeBrusk in the third period of game two. You force a turnover. You're between the circles all alone. Bobrovsky is the only guy in front of you. He drops back into David Pastrnak, who was covered by three Blue Jackets. What are you doing? Shoot it. It's easy to praise the Blue Jackets when the Bruins don't shoot the puck. When they shoot the puck, things may change. But until that happens, we're going to sit here and praise the Blue Jackets.
Okay, more of your thoughts after this. We'll say goodbye to the pretty cup. It is pretty. That's the original, by the way. It's not the duplicate. You see dents in there and the whole thing. Like, that's the real deal. So, pretty cool. Hope they don't choke it away. Hope they don't gag it. Here's Murray's update back.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric. Proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Bruins on tonight, 98.5. The Sports Hub. Pre-game 6:30. Puck drop shortly after 7. Beers and Surratt with the call. Celtics will be on 105.7 ROR, and because it starts later, I'm sure by the end of the night, they'll be back on 98.5 The Sports Hub as well. So that's your coverage tonight. We got Ty Anderson in our Town Fair Tire studios going over some Bruins stuff. We'll circle back to the Celtics here coming up in a minute. But back to your phones. Ken in the car. What do you got, Ken?
Hey, guys. What's going on? So I think Patrice Bergeron, I think he just has too many miles on him. I feel like, I mean, he's been in the league for 15 years, 16 years now. I just think once he gets to the playoffs, he just becomes kind of like an average player now, just from here on out. I just don't feel him being that presence like he used to be anymore, especially with Pastrnak and Marchand really not helping him out too much. It's just kind of, he becomes average, I just feel like.
Okay, Ken, thanks for the call. Do you agree that Bergeron's just getting old?
No, I don't, because I think they've managed him this year, and look at his injuries, like what he's missed time this year, so he should be fresh right now. I thought they did a good job of managing him and making sure he was ready to go off the jump this postseason. I just think that I think something's wrong with him because he's never looked this quiet. Like we talk about quiet games, Bergeron has had quiet game after quiet game. You know, 5-on-5, he's just been a non-factor. Like his only point, I think, his only goal is the playoff goal. If you take empty netters out of the equation, it's a playoff power play goal in game one.
That's right.
And that's not enough. Like he was great last year in the playoffs, I thought. It's the complete opposite of last year. Last year, they only had three guys going. This year, they have everyone besides those three guys going in the playoffs. It's unbelievable. So I have to think there's something wrong with him physically. I don't think he's making mental mistakes like David Pastrnak. I think...
Why can't we just say he's not playing well?
We can. I don't know what it is. He hasn't been the same guy this whole postseason, if you ask me. I've said it since day one with Bergeron.
Hasn't been an impact guy.
He has not. Sure. He hasn't been the same player. And the way the caller says it, you know, well, this is what he is in the playoffs now. Like what, he was bad last year? He had 16 points last year in 11 games.
Because the equity he's built up, people don't want to talk yeah, no, about I mean, Bergeron. That's right. What it is.
Because he's sort of an impeccable player, and so you're reticent to say, you know, I'm not going to criticize that. I'll get criticized Bergeron. But if he's not playing well, he's not playing well. He's not giving you production. Like, just call it for what it is. But
even strength, he's got 2 points, as he said. One of them's that empty net goal against Toronto, and he has one assist. That's it.
It's not enough. It's not enough. You need more. And I just think that I think he's hurt. I think it's, and it's not because he's Patrice Bergeron. I don't want to say that he's not playing well. I just think he hasn't looked this bad at all. When he's healthy, even when he was banged up and had a hole in his lung in Chicago, he was more impactful than he's been in this series.
Don in Springfield, what do you got for us, Don?
Hey, I just want to know why Tyler there thinks that Heinen belongs on the first line when he hasn't done anything all year. If you look at him, he's been bouncing from the first line to the third line and back again. He's not your best defensive forward on that team, and he's not your future either.
Don, thanks for the call. Go ahead, Tyler.
Oh, God, I hate that name so
Ty
much.
Ty is Tyler, right?
Yeah.
Tell people your first and middle name, please.
Do I have to do this?
Do it.
It's Tyler Lee, named
okay.
After Steven Tyler and Tommy Lee.
I was just going to say, Murray, you know what he's named? Tyler Lee. What's your last name?
Are you kidding me right now?
Tyler Lee Anderson.
Ty Anderson. God,
you
just,
don't know
I blanked on your last name just for a second. Just relax.
Steven Tyler. A billion years old.
Tyler Lee, named after two of the worst rock musicians of our time.
Steven Tyler and Tommy Lee?
I would agree with Steven Tyler, but not Tommy Lee. He's
feh.
Motley Crue's awesome.
Oh, feh. Garbage. Anyway, your parents had bad taste.
You didn't
music,
get any
sorry.
Of Tommy Lee's body parts, did you?
Well,
he's also, you're related to Gary Cherone too, right?
Yeah, that's my uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have a whole rock family.
Extreme was once the lead singer of Van Halen for a minute.
Okay, there you go. I was blind. I didn't know who that was.
There's pictures of Eddie Van Halen like holding
okay, do this on a podcast or the off-air show.
Yeah, that's fine. Do a podcast with me.
your thoughts on, and again, Tortorella's my guy. But we don't have time for this. Do you have a hockey question for me?
Yeah, I would say.
Could you possibly? Let's go. I got things to do. Ask me a hockey question.
Thank you very much.
So we're talking about Heinen, right?
Heinen, yes.
Heinen.
Go.
Look at his numbers with look at the numbers with the Bergeron line with him on the ice versus when it's Pastrnak. It's staggering. The Bruins are not giving up chances when it's Danton Heinen out there. They're not. When Pastrnak's out there, they're swimming in the defensive zone. We've never said that this year.
Go ahead. Give me the Corsis. I've read Fluto. The Corsis are huge. When Pastrnak's with that first line, their Corsis suck. When he's not, they go up.
Yeah, no, I don't have them off the top of my head here, but if you look at their Game 1 and Game 2 performances, and TSN wrote about this, when TSN is writing about Danton Heinen, you know he's playing well. Why else would they ever write about Danton Heinen?
Because they actually know what they're talking about.
Yes, exactly. Like all of us who you say, oh, you guys defend Heinen, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, because we watch it, and we see what he does out there versus Pastrnak right now.
No, I'm fine with Heinen. I mean, I look, Pastrnak does not deserve those minutes. That's really more the equation to me. Pastrnak doesn't deserve the minutes, and they still don't have, you know, Johansson's working well with Coyle. So, you know, if that's going to be the pairing there, they still don't have another guy to put up there. So Heinen's fine. Like, I'm not bitching.
We're going to yell at Danton Heinen because Don Sweeney doesn't do his job. That's great. That's a fun thing to do. Don Sweeney, this team lost Rick Nash in the offseason. What do? They sign Nordstrom, Wagner, and John Moore.
You don't think Sweeney turns out had a good trade deadline?
I guess so. Sure.
I guess he doesn't return your calls, huh?
But yeah. Thank you. Bingo. Nose. Boom. No, I think that Coyle and Johansson have been two of the more consistent players. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but they should have addressed this long before that. Like, they still don't have a right...
They're still the third best record in the league. What do you...
But they don't have a right side, right winger to put up in their top six. They don't have it. And they've needed it for a while now.
I'll tell you what.
They don't have it.
It's a good point, though, because with Pastrnak floundering like he is, they could use a right shot in the left face-off circle, and they don't have it.
They're not a perfect team. Most aren't.
And that's why we have Carson Kuhlman right now in the top six instead of somebody who was, I don't know, even somewhat close to Rick Nash's level. Like, and this isn't to harp on Carson Kuhlman. He's been fine. But he's your best option right now because you didn't address this. And Coyle is a right shot, but he's playing center right now because you need a center more than you need a top six winger.
Okay, so, Tyler, Lee, give me a prediction here the rest of the way.
I think the Bruins are going to win it in six games. I think their talent should take over the series. I would hope Bergeron and Pastrnak wake up eventually. Jake DeBrusk, another guy, needs to get going here. If these guys can contribute and you still get the Coyle line going, they should beat this team. And I think Tuukka's playing well, so that gives them a chance.
Thanks for coming in.
Anytime.
All right. See you, Tyler.
Bruins and Celtics. The rest of the way, we'll reset our C's thoughts right after these words.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
For 6 months, the Milwaukee Bucks have cut a swath through the NBA. The runaway best team in the league have yet to face adversity until today. The Celtics' hope was to come here and punch them in the mouth. Instead, they drop an anvil on their head. They dominate game one, and they win it by a final of 112-90 and take a stunning 1-0 lead in this best of seven Eastern Conference semifinals.
All right, resetting our Celtics thoughts. Just thoughts on tonight and the series in general. Murray?
I still think they're going to win five, maybe six games tops. And after watching, because not much was on last night that helped my interest, I was like, I'm going to watch this Raptors-Sixers game. And after watching that, you can pencil them into the finals. I mean, the Celtics.
I mean, I like Milwaukee tonight. To me, this game screams Bucks. But I'm, you know, I don't necessarily have a history of being right all the time. So if the Bucks were to lose, bye-bye. In that league, you don't lose the first two at home and win a series.
Oh, forget about it.
I mean, I think it's never happened.
I mean, well, no. I mean, the Celtics did it to the Bulls a couple of years ago when Isaiah Thomas had the thing with his sister. Right. So it has happened.
They lost first two at home?
Sure did.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, Rondo came in here and cranked you. And then Rondo, you know, tapped out with a hand injury.
Thus, the asterisk was born.
Exactly. That was an asterisk. Right. Yeah, that was the asterisk.
Wow.
Yeah, so that it's happened, but it hasn't happened against a good team. I'll put it to you like that. That Bulls team was hot garbage. The Celtics are good. So I don't think there's, and this is, you know, a little subjective, but I would venture to say that no good team has ever lost the first two at home and went on to win a series. Like, legitimate team. So you're right. It's over if the Celts win. I like the Bucks too. I mean, you see the referee assignments. Tony Brothers is there. The Celtics are 0 for their last 13 on the road with Tony Brothers on the floor. Sometimes the NBA just doesn't even try and hide it. You know, the Celtics are 1-8 in their last 9 with Tony Brothers.
In fact, they issued a press release when they signed Brothers to the series, and they said that the Celtics are 0-13 with Brothers on the road.
So, like, sometimes they don't even hide it. So this is, and the, you know, like we said before, the NBA, you can really telegraph some of the series. This feels like Milwaukee, and it's just, you know. And if the Bucks were up 2-0, you go home for game three, it's like an automatic game three Celtics win. Like, you just, that's the way these series go. So I like the Bucks tonight, but I don't like them. And I think one of the primary reasons is that people continue to overrate Giannis and think that he has this ability to carry the team single-handedly, like he's a legit NBA superstar. And I'm pausing him. He's going to be an MVP. So he's a legit NBA superstar, but I mean on the order of some of these other guys. Like, here's a couple examples. Chris Broussard. We played the sound earlier. We'll just play it again. Chris Broussard on FS1, his thoughts on the series and Giannis.
I'm still with Milwaukee. I still feel good about him. But this is gut check time for Giannis Antetokounmpo and Mike Budenholz.
Yeah.
Both of them. Giannis is probably going to be the MVP. He was my vote. And this game yesterday kind of reminded me in a different way, obviously, of game two with Kevin Durant and Patrick Beverley. How Beverley did this incredible job guarding him, and it looked like he had really found out an answer to stop Kevin Durant. Now, Kevin Durant answered in a big way. He obviously, since then, he's been off the charts. Let's see if Giannis can do that.
He's not Kevin Durant. So Broussard and others make this mistake of, well, yeah, we've seen series where teams have stopped LeBron for a game or stopped Kevin Durant, or there was a good defensive matchup, Pat Beverley, or whatever the case may be. And ultimately, those superstars figure it out because they're superstars. And they're putting Giannis on the order of Kevin Durant.
So I hear that, and it's like, what, do you want him to shoot more threes? I don't think he made an attempt in that first half. You want that guy shooting more three-pointers in this game, in this series? I wouldn't want to if I was a Bucks fan.
That's not who this is. Giannis isn't there yet. He's 23, and he doesn't have an outside game. He doesn't really have a great handle. He's just, he's dependent on dunks and fast breaks and the Euro step and like these.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
It's his game. If you pack the lane, if you pack the lane on Kevin Durant, he can shoot you into trouble. And even LeBron, not as good of a shooter, but step backs, he's just passing, making other guys better. Giannis doesn't have that game. So people are now thinking that Giannis is going to pull a Durant or a LeBron. He's not that kind of player yet.
I mean, I want to see tonight how he adapts, because my guess is he's going to pass the ball and take some mid-range jumpers. Because every time he went into the paint, there were three guys waiting for him, or multiple guys.
How's his mid-range game? It's not.
So, no, but again,
I'm just trying to think. He doesn't really have one. I mean, he's
But if they're going to give it to you, you got to take it.
He's so big and rangy. He can shoot from 8 feet and make it feel like a little, you know, because his reach is so ridiculous. But it's not like he's got a little mid-range game. He doesn't have it.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to take some of them, though, because otherwise they're just not going to come out there. And so, you know, you got to show them you can make something. Otherwise, they'll just keep doing what they're doing.
I just think people make the mistake of thinking he's Durant or LeBron or Harden or Westbrook, these guys, because he's about to win an MVP, and he's not. He's just not. We had on Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer on earlier. He picked the Bucks to start the series. He's going to stick with that, even though he did seem rattled by game one, his prediction. But he's sticking with this. He thinks the Celtics are a deeper team, but the Bucks still have the better player.
Who has more talent in the series?
The Boston Celtics are definitely deeper, that's for sure. Milwaukee has the best player, and as we've seen with decades of NBA history, having the best player in a series is sometimes what matters most. The question still for me, though, is the little things with this Milwaukee team to maximize Giannis Antetokounmpo, because there's no way he's going to shoot as poorly as he did around the rim as he did in game one. That was an unusual performance for him.
Are you sure Milwaukee has the best player?
Yeah. I think Giannis is the best player. I voted him as MVP this year. I think he's the best player in the series. Why? Who else would it be?
Oh, Kyrie Irving.
He's not better than Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's a great player. But Giannis is an all-time potential player. Kyrie's a great player, though, but not better than Giannis.
Okay, all-time potential player. I'll agree with that. Potential, yes. When LeBron learned how to shoot, when Jordan learned how to shoot, like, they became all-time players. Giannis isn't there yet. This series... And he was like, it's not even close. Giannis, of course, the Bucks have the best player. I don't know. If you're drafting this series right now, who do you take first overall?
After game one, Kyrie.
No, but that's not. So they try and take out game one.
I mean, I think Kyrie's the best offensive player in the series, and I put a premium on offense.
Well, but so.
It's a coin flip between Kyrie and Giannis. I mean, it really is.
Look, if I'm drafting for the next 5 years, the next 10 years, if I'm drafting to build my team, I'm going to take the guy who's almost 7 feet tall and is 23 years old. I mean, I'm taking Giannis. I get that part of it. I'm talking about in the next 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've said this a million times. Kyrie's a better offensive player. Okay, Giannis is a more complete player.
Overall, next 10 days, who
Kyrie.
You got?
Probably Kyrie.
Yeah, me too.
Because I put a premium on offense.
But I think all these guys voted for Giannis for MVP. And they're dug in. They're sort of in that bunker. And I don't know. I assume they had to have watched a ton. But if you've watched a ton, you know that Giannis doesn't have that kind of game.
I mean, the guy that can get his own shot, it's the most invaluable skill in the league. Like, you know, the guy that can score when you need him to score, that's the most valuable commodity in the league. And so Kyrie can do it at 6'3", which is a neat trick. So, and I don't think Giannis can do it. I'm not even going to try with the last name anymore. I'm sorry. It's just like, so I call him the freak who just to make it easy. But I don't think he's that guy. I mean, he doesn't shoot well enough from the outside to be able to burn you out there.
Okay, so here's another guy that's in the crosshairs. Broussard mentioned it. Budenholzer. Broussard finished up on the, or followed up on the Bucks coach.
Budenholzer as well. He was out coached. When Budenholzer's probably going to be coach of the year. The coaches voted him coach of the year. He again got him vote. But Brad Stevens out coached him yesterday. When the opponent comes into your building and shoots 54% and you are the best defense in the league, they made some adjustments. You just stood pat and didn't. And now it's time for Budenholzer to make the adjustments. Remember a few years ago when Atlanta won 60?
Right.
And then the Cavs swept them.
Right.
And we gave Budenholzer, and I think rightly, a pass because he didn't have stars. Obviously, the Cavs had LeBron and Kyrie and all that. He won't get a pass this time. You've got the star in Giannis. Mm-hmm. I think the talent is close. Maybe you give Boston a slight edge, maybe. But the talent is close. So it's gut check time for those two guys. And obviously, game two is a must win.
So I'll buy that. I mean, you can do, even though Giannis's game is limited, you can do a little more to free him up. I mean, and I'm glad Kevin O'Connor mentioned about the high pick and roll. The Bucks don't run it. Like, the only team in the league that doesn't run that stuff, like, everyone does that. And how do you not do that with Giannis, even if he can't shoot? I understand that that limits him a little bit, but get some action with them. I mean, they don't really do anything other than dump him into the post, and there's no real plays or actions there to get him free.
I mean, look, the pick and roll is like the most basic play in basketball.
The whole
for crying out
high
loud.
Pick and rolls, the whole league, everyone does it.
It's the cornerstone of any offense. Like, you can't execute offense without it. So the only thing I disagree with Kevin O'Connor about is he talked about how, you know, run the pick and roll and then throw it up to Giannis down the lane. Well, if I'm the Celtics, I just keep doing what I'm doing. You just put bodies there. He has to catch it at 10 feet out. You play under the screens. That's what you're doing. You don't let him get in there. You let him pop out because he doesn't want to go out there and shoot. So sooner or later, he's going to have to start making some 15-footers or it's not
going
to work.
Okay, Bruins going into game three tonight, a pivotal game three in Columbus. Celtics trying to sweep in Milwaukee. Tonight, your thoughts on both. Cup open lines if you want to grab them at 617-779-0985. To you after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Oops, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.